Welcome to The Rock Pile. Join us, that's Oma and Lewis, as we talk about faith, culture, and a bunch of other messy subjects. You can agree or disagree. It'll be lively, likely messy, but we hope interesting. Come on. Come on our journey to understand. No rock throwing, just a rock pile. Well, here we are, episode 2, season 3. And last episode, we finished or concluded with
Faith
from the Syrophoenician woman in face of culture. Now we're going to talk about the clash of culture. That's what we want to talk about today.
Yes. And, you know, let's just start at the beginning. Look at Genesis. In Genesis chapter 6.
That's Noah.
That would be Noah. And, you know, it talks about the fact that everybody is so wicked that the Lord is going to have him build an ark.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's wicked.
Well, And how long did it take him to build that ark?
Like what, 100 years?
100 years. So here he is building an ark in front of people who likely not see an ark.
Making fun of him.
Yeah, well, you would think they'd make fun of him, right? Telling me he's a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, you're a conspiracy theorist.
The modern day first conspiracy theorist, proven not to be a conspiracy at all. A specific conspiracy between Noah and God to do what the flood. So here's the first conspiracy theorist.
Because they looked at him as like a naysayer, you know. Oh, you just don't want us to have fun. You know, because they were just doing whatever felt right. And they were doing it to their heart's content, basically. And just living in wickedness.
Well, they were constantly evil on their minds and their hearts.
Yeah.
And so Noah was chosen because he was separate.
Yes. He had separated from the culture. He had to have done it early on.
Yeah. And so then he's building this ark and they see it.
Yeah.
And they don't do anything until
the rain happens.
It starts to rain. Well, actually, the water comes up out of the ground. And then as Noah enters the ark,
Lord closes the door.
The Lord closed the door behind him. And the rest of the story. So you want to read that story in Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7. Some of you may be familiar with it already. But as we talk about cultures, think about that first culture early on. I mean, you can go back to the garden. But in this case, it's about God dealing with the culture of the day, the prevalent culture at Noah's time. And then the next one we could look at Lot.
That
and that's still in the book of Genesis.
Yes, it is. Chapter 19.
Chapter 19. And so here we had Abraham talking to God and interceding for
Lot
and
his whole family.
His whole family and anybody else. I think he had a long discussion where he went back and forth. Yeah. I think he started for 50 and ended up with 10.
Yes. If there's that many righteous, are you going to save them?
Yeah, 10. There's just 10.
Yeah.
Well, the only problem was there was only Lot, his wife, and two daughters. That's 4.
Yes, because the, the fiancés didn't even come.
No. And it describes the towns of Sodom and Gomorrah, those areas, and, you know, some of the issues going on for them, especially with the angels that arrived.
Oh, you know, the wickedness is the same thing consistently throughout history.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the rise of certain lusts and desires and, you know, deviant behaviors and idolatry and.
Yeah, primarily a lot of idolatry.
Yes.
Witchcraft.
Right.
You know, soothsayers, fortune tellers, diviners, necromancers. You know, those are mentioned throughout the Old Testament and even evident in some of the New Testament.
And, you know, you look in our culture today and that's what you see is the rise of these kind of things.
And it's been there
forever.
It's not, like we mentioned last episode, there's nothing new under the sun. So it's the same types of behavior, just a different time frame, whether it be Noah's time or whether it be our time.
Right.
I mean, even you think about the history of Israel and the judges. Up and down with the judges. And then essentially the prophets coming in and warning them of idolatry and some of the wicked behavior in offering sacrifices to and how they treated each other and how they treated other people, intermarrying with other groups, doing the things contrary to what God had outlined in the.
And look back at Lot. Lot, you know, he stayed there. He knew what was going on in that culture, but he allowed himself to stay there, and he was even going to let his children marry into this culture.
Yeah.
So that's the influence. That really is. When we don't separate ourselves and be separate, then you have that influence, and it's going to invade your family, your life, and everything in it.
Now, especially, you know, as you are involved or around it, and, you know, not everybody, of course, you know, we all come to a point where we, you know, we give our life to Christ and we want to change and the Spirit works in us. When we end up coming out of culture, and that's when we lose friends, you know, we have to make choices. And that's not unlike some of the choices that the, you know, the disciples had to make, you know, with when they followed Jesus. Jesus interacting with the culture and calling people out of it. Some would, some wouldn't. Just think about the wise young man or the wealthy young man who came and wouldn't give up all of his wealth. I mean, some of those issues are that he had with those individuals when he interacted with them.
Yeah. And look at when Paul went into Corinth and he had to talk to them, he had the same thing. When you read in Corinthians in the Bible, you read about the fact that he's dealing with issues that are what? Coming out of the culture. You know, people are sleeping with their relatives and, you know, stuff like that.
And temple prostitutes as well.
And yes, there was a huge thing of temple prostitutes in Corinth.
Now, that was pretty
prevalent.
Common,
yeah.
In most of the Greek-Roman types of, Corinth.
Like,
we're talking about Corinth.
Aphrodite,
yeah. And where is that? And that was in Corinth, right?
Yeah, and Philippian church had I think it was Aphrodite there.
The Ephesus, they had Artemis.
Yes, they had Artemis.
Well, and Philippi, they had the fortune teller who was working for people, giving fortunes, and she was probably akin to the Oracle of Delphi.
Yeah.
So kind of giving those fortunes, and she followed Paul and Silas around and basically—
he had enough of it.
And he cast out demon out of her. And then, of course, now she's not telling fortunes.
it caused havoc.
And they basically rioted because they were losing money. And that was very similar in Ephesus when he was saying that any god that is made by the hands of people are no gods at all. And, of course, then the silversmiths lose a business, and they rioted, and then Paul ends up in prison in Ephesus, and then followed up in prison in Philippi.
So there is sacrifice to the fact of pulling away and not being among the culture.
Or at least
separate.
Identifying. And, you know, you think about, in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, you get a sense when he's writing to the church at Rome, and he mentions these same types of behaviors that are consistent with what you saw with Noah and with Lot and with, you know, even in Israel at the time in the Old Testament, before the New Testament. And then you've got, you know, he's going to these Greek-Roman cities, very important trade cities where a lot of people would interact with from all over that known area, Corinth and Ephesus and Philippi and others.
Big commerce areas.
Yes, where there's a lot of interaction with individuals, not necessarily the Jewish individuals and the synagogue, but Gentiles in general.
Yes.
So their culture is not really much different to some extent than the stuff that's going on we see now.
Yes, that's true.
So, you know, part of the issue then becomes how do we, you know, we recognize what's going on in our culture, pulling away from it in a sense of not embracing it.
That's right. And, you know, if we're going to pull away, then we need to look at how we're praying, because prayer is a big part of how we can make a difference.
Everybody can pray.
Because everyone can pray.
Now, you know what? People might not be able to participate at a certain level, right?
That's right. I mean, you might not be able to get into politics. You might not be able to get into certain businesses or do certain things.
Or you may not have a lot of money.
Yeah. But, you know, Isaiah 58, he talks about in verse 6 about, well, the whole first part of the chapter is talking about fasting. Because what comes with prayer? The Lord wants you to fast and pray.
Well, the fasting part is to get yourself in the right perspective.
Yes, it is. It's all about you.
And a sacrifice so that you have the right heart
for
God.
You have to have the right heart. Exactly.
Right. And it's not about you making yourself better. It's getting yourself focused
on God.
On God.
Yeah, because during that time of fast is when you're setting yourself aside and you're praying during that time where you would have been eating.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so it's just a focus.
Right.
It's just helping us to focus. But on verse 6, he talks about the fact that when you're going to loose the chains of the bonds of wickedness and undo the straps of the yoke and set the oppressed free to break every yoke, he's talking about doing spiritual warfare.
Right.
Like when you're getting into your prayer closet, you're sitting there and you are praying and making a difference because you're coming against with the whole armor of God, with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You're using the word of God. You're coming and you're doing spiritual warfare against the things that are going on. Because you can pray for your nation. You can pray for your city. You can pray for your family. And you should be praying for all of it.
And praying for people to have their eyes opened.
Yes.
Not in the sense of, you know, of all these mean prayers. It's
no.
A prayer to, you know, bless them with faith so they can see, like the Syrophoenician woman, the need or the light. And to come to a knowledge of saving grace, saving faith in Christ Jesus so that they can come out of the world and be whole again because they don't realize the influence. And we don't even sometimes understand the full pull that the world has on us because we're so used to being in it, sort
That's
of like
it.
Lot.
Yeah. It's like that. Frog in the pan, right?
Yeah.
They've
yeah.
got that. You know, you turn on the heat just a little bit and before you know it, it starts to boil, but he never jumps out because he doesn't realize it. It's so gradual.
And that's Lot.
That's Lot, but that's us.
Yeah, that's pretty much everybody,
yes,
you know, to some extent.
We get desensitized.
Yes, we do.
And, you know, through movies and everything. You know, if you just pull away just for a week, from things that you're watching, things that you're, whether it's media or whatever you're listening to, pull away for just a week and just be quiet.
Or do something different.
You know, and just be quiet with the Lord. You don't have to stop living, but if you just pull away from this media stuff.
Yeah, especially social media where it's filled with misinformation and propaganda, gaslighting. We talked about this, you know, season two. I mean, we didn't, of course, cover all these, but just kind of breeze through it and say, look, you got to pay attention to this world, what they're trying to feed you, because they're trying to sell you, great as the Artemis. of Ephesus.
But know? My point is that when you pull away, you're allowing yourself to be able to assess what's really going on.
Well, you, yeah.
Because
but
in the quiet, you can hear God
right.
and you can seek him and he's going to give you clarity on so many things. It's just a challenge. I challenge you to do that. That would be good.
Right. No, I agree. It's just that, you know, it's the process then is to, you know, allow that something else to come into your mind other than the things that you're feeding it now.
And the busyness.
And without any judgment on what that is, or, you know, just say, hey, if I turn this off, I stop looking at, you know, whatever social media site that's filled with people raging back and forth, and just say, I'm going to leave that time open so I can focus on what God wants me to hear and see what happens.
Absolutely.
You know, because in 1 John, I think it's chapter 2, verse 15, he talks about, you know, John, the writer of the Gospel of John in the book of Revelation. He says, you know, Lewis is paraphrased, if you're a friend of the world, if you love the world, you can't love God. Because your heart is focused on the worldly things. And some of the things in the world, we're not saying everything in the world, et cetera, is evil. It's the fact is you love that stuff and there's no room for God.
Yes.
And so like you were saying, the point of this is to get yourself separate so that you can find out where your heart really is. Because where your heart is,
you're like going to follow.
That's where their treasure is. That's
yes.
what you worship is. What
yes.
your heart is focused on, whether it be a person, an event, or anything like that, sports, pick something. Whatever you focus all your treasure on, that's where your heart is.
Yes.
And so, you know, no one's perfect. There's none righteous, not one in Romans.
So we just want to encourage you to pay attention to what you're looking at and what your response to culture is.
And you know, what you're involved in.
Yeah.
You know, what types of things you're watching and what types of things that you, your family, your children, other people are involved in, and that you're taking for granted that that's just the way it is. Because, you know, if we look back from the things in, you know, with Lot and Noah and others all the way through history, there's a consistency in those types of things are going on with the culture. And then there's a call by God in Old Testament and then Christ calling in the New Testament to pull yourself away from that culture and to focus on God and be a positive light to that.
Yes. To the people.
Yes. So show love to people, because by showing love to people, you're countercultural. It's not a selfish love. It's a love genuinely focused on the well-being of the other person.
Yes, exactly.
So if that's consistent, we can look through the Bible throughout and see what God had done in response to the wickedness of the culture. And if God is consistent, and we know he is.
Oh, yes.
Then we know his response based on what we've read.
The rain is coming.
The rain is coming. So we would, and I would encourage you to ask yourself, where's the ark?
Yes.
And get to the ark before it starts to rain.
Blessings.
Blessings. Well, that's a wrap. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Please subscribe and follow us on YouTube and other social media sites. We are at Cairn Global. That's global with an E. Thank you for listening to The Rock Pile.